Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here we are in our journey through Corinthians. How did these Christians who were bickering, griping, and contentious become some of the most spiritual Christians? And why 1 Corinthians is really a neat book to understand. When you get saved, God saves you by His grace. But then you need to start learning what Jesus did for you, and then everybody has things that you're supposed to stop, okay? Some have different areas, but everybody, 1 Corinthians is a book of correction. Every chapter, God's correcting them. Stop this. Don't do this. So, it's good, and then we'll eventually get to 2 Corinthians, which the key word is ministry or serving. Now then, 1 Corinthians, that you've stopped doing what God wanted you to stop, He can now use you to serve Him in 2 Corinthians. Okay, so the book of serving. Here we are in 1 Corinthians 11, and out of all the chapters in the Bible, there are, two books, Daniel and Jonah, and then there's chapters in the Bible that are known to be hated. I don't think people in our church hate it, but as a pastor, you know, I could be tempted. Should I be concerned about offending you? Or should I be concerned about you offending God? Because if I'm so concerned, this gets into so many issues that are not only politically incorrect, people would say even mentioning it is politically insane. All right? So 1 Corinthians 11 is a chapter I think everybody needs to be associated with. It ought to be marked in your Bible. But if I'm always concerned about offending you so much that I just say, you know what, God loves you no matter what you do, then your life can't be blessed because your blessings only come as you obey God, right? And then you're always wondering why your life is a mess. You know what I mean? So this is one of those chapters. Lester Roloff said there's only 10 verses in the Bible which describe outward appearance, you know, whether it's hair, dress, or whatever. He said, yet those 10 verses out of 1,189 chapters, those 10 verses have a tendency to cause the biggest ruckus. Amen? Interesting observation. So here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and watch this. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I think our hero should be the Apostle Paul, but there are groups. Thank you, Internet. Have I told you recently how frustrated I am with you? Okay. There's stupid people on the Internet that say because we're in the church age and God used Paul for the Pauline epistles, that we're only supposed to follow Paul. Just that thought. We're only supposed to follow Paul. It's a stupid thought because you can't. God led Paul to say, follow me as I follow Christ. You can't follow Paul only, right? It's called ultra dispensationalism, where they hack up the Bible and say, you don't have to read this, you don't have to read this, only read this, and it's garbage. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that's supposed to be all of our plea with people that we lead to the Lord, with people that we're influenced. Follow me as I follow Christ. Am I going to do everything right? No. But if I have anything good to offer, let me influence you in a good way for Jesus, right? But are you going to see me make mistakes if you hang around me long enough, right? So follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, we're following Paul, but he's following Jesus, and God led him to say that. Verse 2, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. That's an important verse because God said to keep or guard the ordinances. Well, in a Baptist church, we don't believe in sacraments because those aren't mentioned in the Bible. There's only two ordinances, right? Lord's Supper and baptism. So protect them or guard them so that they don't get changed. Don't let alcohol into the Lord's Supper. Amen. Keep it grape juice. Amen. Down in North Carolina, they use cheer wine. No, I'm just kidding. We used to have people come, and they would come to the conference. And this one guy, he said, Brother Nash, giving you some It's almost like he would pause, pray, and, you know, it was like he was on holy ground. Cheer wine. You know what I mean? And he said, don't drink it all at once. And I was like, this is really special to you, isn't it? And he said, it's cheer wine. At any rate, okay, we took a little rabbit trail. Sorry about that. But in other words, keep the ordinances. Don't let them change, right? But as they were delivered, keep the Lord's Supper without alcohol and without leaven, and keep the baptistry immersing. No sprinkling, no pouring, right? Keep baptism what it's supposed to be. Guard the ordinances, because you'll notice when the ordinances change, because they're not protected, because they don't matter, the church changes, okay? So keep the ordinances as they were delivered. Then he's going to say here, verse 3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, what does the word head mean? And we're going to look at it here in a little bit. It cannot mean that the head of the man is Christ and the head of the woman is the man. It cannot mean that if something is the head, whatever's below it's inferior. Because what's the head of Christ? What's it say? God, right? So that is not what it's saying. It is saying there has to be an authority. There has to be, what's the word head mean? Chief, principal person, one to be submitted to, one that all else submits to. Okay? One that allows, one head means one that is allowed to lead. Right? So we know, because of the last part of the verse, the head of Christ is God. We know Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He was of the, he thought it not robbery, Philippians 2, to be equal with the Father. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. So Christ is God. But for our sakes, so he could die in our place, he gave us the image of the Father and the Son being on this earth. And that's why Jesus prayed, Lord, if this cup, you know, if this cup can pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Jesus always did those things that pleased the Father. Yes, he was God, but he was trying to give us a picture so that when he died on the cross, he could become our sin as God turned his back, right? On sin. Father, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, here we go. When you read that verse, verse 3, the head of the woman, the head of the man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. That means the woman has to allow the man to lead. And in our country, in our society, because I don't look at all articles, but somebody said the feminization or the exalting of women in America is satanic because it's causing the... There is so much women depression now. When they go to college... College-age girls are taught, don't get married, get a career. Childbearing is for, motherhood isn't exalted like it should be. And so, guess what? They reach their 30s and 40s after they've gone to college and they've been programmed, don't get married, don't have kids. And then guess what kicks in? The depression, the suicide, all of that. They're like, oh no, I was lied to. The feminism that exalts, tries to minimize manhood, toxic masculinity to exalt women. It's causing our society a lot of pain, okay, and a lot of a mess. So the head of the man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Just like that verse is hated for authority's sake, don't put all the blame on the women for not wanting the men to lead, because in a home, this gives a nice order. God and Christ, man, woman, children. Okay? Yes, the wife is supposed to submit to the man, but the man's supposed to submit to Christ. It's not supposed to be a narcissistic egotist that, you know, couch commander, you know, and she does all the work. It's not supposed to be that way. She is inspired to follow because of how he follows the Lord. That's what's supposed to happen. So when you get a lot of dogs for men that won't control themselves, that live selfishly and self-centered. I'm not justifying what we're seeing, but yeah, what woman would want to submit to that? Jesus is the only thing that makes us worth following. Amen? So that's how come it says first, the head of the man is Christ. Then the head of the woman is the man, all right? And then the head of Christ is God, displaying Jesus's submission to the Father while he was here on this earth to do what? Die for our sins. But yet he was just as much God. So hopefully it's hard to find in this day and age. Our society does nothing but push self-centeredness, narcissism, internet, comments, opinions, more so than ever. Okay? More so than ever. So as our society focuses more inwardly on self, our society is imploding. Okay? That's not what's supposed to happen. It doesn't make for a healthy society. But it's hard to find people who let Jesus lead. It is rare. And that's what makes for a good Christian. Either you're calling the shots or Jesus is. Is he your head? Yes, he died for you. He's your Savior. But how much do you submit to him after you're saved? Getting saved is the easy part. Amen? I'm glad it's easy. Amen? Or I couldn't have done it. But after you get saved, that's the hard part. So the rest of the chapter is going to be about the headship of Christ and letting Jesus be the head. Watch this. Now, if you got verse 3 down, then verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. If you just read that without thinking about it, remember I told you to use basic English rules when you read your Bible? It sounds like if a man prays covered, okay, having his head covered, he dishonors his head. But the verse ahead of you, verse 3, who's the head of the man? So God said, if a man prays covered with a hat on, it dishonors God, the man's head, right? You say, how come? I don't know. I just know that's what the Bible says. If a man prays, and it's like this, a man taking off his hat, we were taught in the Marine Corps, when you cross the threshold, the hat comes off. You don't ever wear a hat indoors, okay? And I don't know that I was taught that as a kid, although I wasn't a big hat wearer. When you cross the threshold, the hat comes off, all right, as far as if you're a man. This is where that comes from. If a man prays covered, in other words, if it's time to talk to the Lord, you would remove your hat to show that he's your head, right? I'm in submission to him, so I don't want anything between me and the Lord. Amen? Other than that, how come? How come it dishonors God? Because God said it does. God said if a man prays it's always been a view of disrespect, right? And you never wear your hat in church. You would never. That's what we were taught. So if a man prays, it's important how you read that verse, because how you read that verse is how you read the next verse. Verse 5 says, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth what? Her head. Am I giving you a different way of reading it? Her head is who? The man. The head of every woman, right? The head of the woman is the man. You say, well, how come it dishonors the man if the wife prays and it says uncovered? I don't know, because that's what God said. That's what the Bible says. There's some things you have to believe God enough to let him lead. In other words, does God have to explain everything? I like it when he does. But there's some things I can only say, I don't know why God said that. I just know God said it, and we're supposed to believe it, and we're supposed to. It's just like a parent when they say, when a parent says, bedtime at 9, why do I got to go to bed at 9? Because I told you to. Well, yeah, but how come I got to? Because I told you to, that's why. Right? There's some things when you read your Bible, it's supposed to be that way. You say, well, I don't know why it dishonors God. It's just. So guess what? Take your hat off when it's time to pray. And I remember going to the first revival meeting with Brother Johnson, the man that taught me soul winning. And he was preaching. And Miss Burma, his wife, sat here. And us three Marines, we sat there in a church. And Brother Brother Johnson, I think you've heard me tell this story before. Brother Johnson said, Brother Nash, why don't you go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer tonight? I'd never done that before. So I sat there and I went, Dear Lord, and Miss Burma goes, wham! She goes, stand up when you pray. And I went, Dear Lord, help us. She said, you never pray sitting down. You know, and Miss Burma, she's in heaven now, but she was a wonderful help and teacher. She always used to say, you Marines are a bunch of pigs. I represent that remark. Okay, here we go. So every man is supposed to pray having his, a man's not supposed to pray with his head covered, and then a woman is not supposed to pray with her uncovered. Now this is going to be where I don't think a woman has to wear a hat in church, but there was a day and age when you walked into church, you had to position yourself where you sat because the woman in front of you was poof, you know, with fluff and all of that. I think I remember a little bit of that when I was a kid. It's kind of gotten away, but it doesn't say, and we don't have women praying in church services. Amen. So we don't do that, but it is interesting to know this is where they get that from. Watch verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. You know what shorn is? That means shaved. Okay? Now, he's saying here, okay, when I was a kid, here we go again, more stories, right? In the 1980s, a little bit before the 80s, Star Trek came out, and there was one woman on there, and she went down in history as the first woman to get her picture taken bald, who didn't have cancer, okay? And don't tell me who it is, I don't care, all right? I just remember a big deal was made out of this. This woman is bald. Society hadn't accepted it yet. Now they're really accepting it. And there's no way a woman could shave her head and then look in the mirror and go, you know, it looks gross, right? There's only one way a woman could look in the mirror and say, my head looks good. That's if she has a friend who's married to another woman with a purple mohawk, okay? And they're saying, you know, oh, you ought to shave your head. That's how kooky our society is. Remember, the sexual revolution of the 60s said, we don't care what God says. Our nation said, we don't care what God says. They kicked the Bible out of school, kicked prayer out of school. We don't care what God says about marriage. They didn't know. They didn't want the God train. They didn't want the Bible train. But they thought they could stop it. Well, we'll just stop it at physical relationship outside of marriage. It didn't stop. It went into homosexuality, it went into transgenderism, it went into now things that defy common sense. They thought they could stop it, right? Well, we don't want God telling us what to do. When you get on that movement, it takes you over the cliff, and the only way off that train is Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the only thing that gets you off of that train. I don't know if our society... I think we've passed the stage. I don't think we're going to recover from what we're watching happen. You say, well, what's so bad? When the Secretary of Health is a man that says she's a woman and wants to be called a woman, and man, I'm not sure I've seen anything uglier. That is one good night. If there's a definite, they should have ugly in the dictionary and then Rachel Levine's picture right there, whatever it wants to be called. That is one, I mean, every time I see it, I want to throw up. Okay, here we go. You got that. Then you've got Pastor, you could really just kind of move on in the scripture. You don't have to be so descriptive. Then you got a state, Secretary of State. Buttigieg a couple years ago, nasty queer, has a boyfriend and takes maternity leave because those two supposedly had a baby. What? But if you disagree with that, our media calls you hateful. You're not allowed to disagree. That's where our society's at. We know it's like, woo. I think the train's on fire and going over the cliff. I think I don't think we're going to recover from it either. But that's how bad things have get. Just remember, it all started back when our nation said we don't want God. That was in the 60s. Then you remember I remember that was long hair on men, hippies, and all that started. And now there's no way of stopping it. Here we go. So let her be shorn. Sad what's accepted. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, and it is, or shaven, let her be covered. God is saying here, no woman with common sense that has any measure of sanity is going to shave her head and think it looks good. But it's a movement or whatever. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. How come? For as much as he is the image and glory of God. So, God wants a man to show the shape of his head uncovered, because God made man in his image to walk with him, and it's a picture of authority. Okay? Here, the man is the image and glory of God. Look at the last part. But the woman is the glory of the man. What a verse. It kind of puts everything in its place. The woman is the glory of man. That's how come the rage of a man, the rage of a man is his jealousy. That's how come it says if anything messes with his wife, he can go off and he won't take any. That's Proverbs 6, right? That's how come it's because she is his glory. And yet our society doesn't accept that because, oh, that's demeaning. And that's women. They have pushed women to hold men's positions, dress like women, dress like men, talk like men, act like men, wear their hair like men, to the point our society is now cuckoo. Okay? You know, a neat chapter for this, but Isaiah 3 tells you, if women are put in charge, if women are in the Senate, and if women are in the representative thing, and if there is a woman president, read Isaiah 3. It's the sign that that country is under the judgment of God. Read the whole chapter, and you'll notice two verses there, but that's a chapter of judgment, Isaiah 3. So they've just pushed women, and a woman can do anything. A woman can't do anything a man can do. And a man can't do everything a woman can do. They're both separate, holy positions that God has given them, and if it's moved, everything breaks down. Because why? That would affect the home, right? Here, it says, the woman is the glory of the man. Here we go, verse 8 and 9. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was, here we go, verse 9 ought to be marked in your Bible. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. There's nothing demeaning there. It's supposed to be a holy prayer. God, for a girl to pray, God, show me the one you created me for to help him serve you. That's a holy prayer, right? How about the young man? Lord, show me the one you made for me. Lead me, guide me, please help me, Lord. Wherever she's at, work in her life, Lord, protect her. And Lord, when you feel we're ready, help our paths to cross. Amen? I think that's the way it's supposed to be looked at. But our society, women weren't created for men. God's plan. The family is so important. You'll notice anything that hurts the family hurts society. Anything that takes away from that. So here we go. Verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Here we go. Neat things to think about, but watch this. The man is of the woman, you know, and women say, well, if it wasn't for us, you'd have never been born. But the way God originally did it was God took a rib from the man to make the woman. God doesn't do that anymore. God doesn't turn women in from ribs, right? Any more than God, but the first time, yeah. Yeah, when I get around her, my rib hurts. Okay, that's stupid. Okay, but here we go. Wait a second. The first time God made man, he breathed in the dirt, right? Say, my boys, I think they're resorting back to how God made them. They're getting dirty and dirty. Okay, never mind. Okay, one time God made man from dirt. and one time God made woman from man. He doesn't do that anymore. But the first one, he did, right? The first one, he said, this is how I'm taking woman from man. That's why her name is W-O-M-A-N, because she's taken from man to help him. All right, so understanding the order. Now, I think you, this should mean something to you. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? What's comely mean? Comely means fitting and attractive and meant, beautiful. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? The answer would be no. How come? In just a minute, we're gonna look at something very obvious, but the woman's hair shows her submission when she wants to cover the shape of her head. A man should show the shape of his head, ears, right, out from the hair and all of that, to show his authority as God. So God says, I want things kept in the order that I put them. Here we go. Verse 14, and here's the verse. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? So there's things God said, if you didn't have a Bible, there's things you should never have to be told. Doesn't even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair? And that word shame means disgrace. It's a disgrace to a man to have long hair. Why? Because he's covering up, his hair is covering up his submission to God. Long hair in the Bible, it's interesting, has always been a picture of rebellion. Absalom, right, gets hung in the tree, then they run him through with spears. You say, when is it not? What was Samson's long hair a picture of? Israel's sin, right? How come they took the vow of a Nazarite? John the Baptist, Samuel was a Nazarite, right? Didn't cut his hair from his mother. What was that a picture of? The shame of the sins of Israel. John the Baptist was the last one, right? Didn't cut his hair at all. How come? It was a picture of shame. It's never a picture, right? Doesn't even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a shame to him? A real man doesn't want to do anything like a woman. He doesn't want to walk like a woman. He doesn't want to talk like a woman. He doesn't want to dress like a woman. And a real man doesn't. Nature teaches you that. He doesn't want to wear his hair like a woman. That's why, here we go, the next verse says, ready? If a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering that shows her submission. Oh, I think I skipped over verse 10, didn't I? Shame on me. Okay, well, here we go. Verse 14 and 15, plainly teach that God wants men and women looking different. Plainly. Men and women, androgynous, that's a big word. You know what that means? Removing feminine and masculine traits so that the person looks the same. Your nasty Justin Biebers, and they they take away all traits so that it looks like they're girl or boy. That is not of God. It's interesting. I watched one lady, that a historian, as she studied, she said, anytime you start removing masculine and feminine traits from boys and girls, that society is on its last leg. So what strengthens a society? Men walk this way. Men sit this way. Men do this. Men like it loud. Women like it soft. You know, as far as atmospheres are there, that's how come my wife likes Cracker Barrel. Amen. She likes atmosphere. She likes it. Women like women. What's God's description in Isaiah? Dainty, petite, sweet. That's what girls are supposed to be, right? Remember what are little boys made out of? Puppy dogs' tails and snails, right? And what are little girls made out of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. There's supposed to be a difference. Our society wants it melded. How crazy does a society have to be to where when the baby is born, you ask, well, what did y'all have? Well, we're going to let it decide. That's evil. To me, you just forfeited your right to parent. That's going to do nothing but damage the child for the rest of their life. And that's happening by the millions in America. We'll just let the baby decide. How awful. That's only been since Obama's president, 2008. That's when all that started. Interesting. Do your own research. That's how nuts our society is. God says, I want men. Just me growing up, my dad had come home in a suit, worked for the state of Michigan. Did the same thing every time he came in the house, always at the same time. He was never late. My dad was always. When we went to church, we were there 45 minutes before anybody. My dad was never late, never. He did the same thing every day. Growing up, he'd walk in the house, had his briefcase, drop his briefcase, grab mom, whoom, kiss her. Shelly and I were in the thing. He'd grab his briefcase, go up to the room, change from his suit into his work clothes. He always had four or five cars to work on out there. And then he would go outside and work till mom called him in for supper. And he'd go back outside and work till 9:30 at night. That was when I'd watch my dad walk. I just remember thinking, I want to walk like that. I want to carry myself like that. Right? My dad's a real man. The glory of children is their father, right? They want to be like, they later grow up and realize how great their mom is. The children rise up and call her blessed, right? They'll get the picture, but the glory of children is their father, right, Micah? I think young men are supposed to have good role models. Amen. I wanted to be like my dad. There was nothing. I remember, I don't know if this is appropriate or not. I think I can say this. I don't think this is bad. I remember when my sister shaved her armpits. And I think it was like teenager somewhere along the lines. And my mom and her were talking. And I remember I went, oh, that'd be horrible. And then she started talking about shaving her legs. And I remember I just sat on the couch and went, never. Never. You need a bush hog to cut my legs. I mean, okay, never mind. So I didn't want to get into the inappropriate. I'm just saying, I remember that. And God says it's supposed to be worlds apart. Worlds apart. Nothing is supposed to mix. All right? So, aren't you I'm sorry I said that. Yeah, do you see it? Do you get the picture? I think it's supposed to be that way in church. We agree. Let the boys be boys. Amen. Let the girls be girls. Let the, you know, I remember as a youth director, you ever see those slap contests? You know what I mean? That's nothing for a girl to play. If I saw two girls playing that, you know, or three, I'd be like, girls, here, you need to bake some cookies. Amen. But for the guys, it'd be like, oh yeah, you know, till son, go ahead, quit. Or you ever do the pinch on the back of the arm like this? And it's just, I'm not letting go. You're going to let go first. Girls don't play that. Guys do. Amen. Girls should entertain and love nice, dainty things. Encourage the girls to be feminine. You want that. And you want the men. Amen. Guns and trucks. Amen. Whatever makes noise and joy. Let the boy. That's what are they doing in the public schools? The teachers that can't discipline them want them on Ritalin. Well, that boy's just not. We never heard of Ritalin. Amen. I heard of the paddle. I got sent out into the many times. My teacher was 400 pounds from Kentucky. I mean, when she waddled, she had a red devil with holes in it. Right? Was that big? Wow, could she knock you through walls, block walls. At any rate, I'm just saying, I got plenty of spankings. Nobody put, none of your shit, discipline yourself and learn to sit there and sit still. Amen? Whatever happened to like the basics? We'll get through here. We got a couple more verses, but whatever happened to, that's why all those senators always freak. How can a guy sit that way? No guy should ever sit that way. Amen? Guys sit like this. Amen. Now, go the other way. Girls should not sit this way. That's what he's teaching junior church, right? Ladies, right? right? I'm just saying there should be a world of difference in everything. Everything. One more. I was a little boy, and I remember the rave about that's awful that men would have long hair. Okay? But it was just about 12 years before that, right after World War II, that women started dressing like men. That rave's done. We're past that now. Now what are we? 2 years ago, they had at the, what was the movie awards night? They had several of the stupid, nasty men actors coming in to the show wearing dresses. That's because women dressing like men, we're past that. Now we're getting into men dressing like women. Now there's websites for men to buy dresses. Doth not even nature itself teach you, right? As far as, I would hope, if you came into church and saw your pastor in a dress, and if I just said, you know, when I get inside with the air conditioning, I like the feeling of air and on my winons, you know what I mean? You got your leg hair sticking through the nylons. Looks like piano wire. That's gross. Okay. I said that to say that grosses most people out because society's not used to it yet. No, I've never worn a dress. Not going to. But I would hope everybody would think it would be weird. But it's weird for a man to wear a dress just like it's weird. There was a time where women didn't dress like men. That's our society. 1 Corinthians 11 is a chapter that is really avoided. All you have to do is just when you're teaching on Corinthians, you just breeze right over it. You just forget about it. You don't teach things like that. You just let it. As a pastor, not a lot of people. There's a few that are teaching on it, but not a lot. It's just something you glaze over. Look at the verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. The key word there is contentious. I think back then, there were people that were immoral and would say, well, God's just out to wreck my life and God's out to destroy me. And how come I got to? I think they had rebels back then, just like I think we have more of them now. But if any man seemed to be contentious, he said, just let him know these are new Christians. We're in church. You're supposed to have enough faith so when you read something in the Bible you disagree with, you can still trust God enough to let him lead and be your head. You realize when Adam and Eve sinned, when God made the earth, everything was for man, for him to dwell on the earth. And Eve, before she sinned, convinced herself that God was cheating her. Well, how come I can't eat of that tree? You got 10 other trees to eat. How come you don't want? Well, how come I can't? And that's the way our rebellion is. Well, how come I can't do this? Have you looked at what you can do because you're saved? Yeah, there are some things God tells you no. But don't be contentious with God and feel God has to. Well, what happens if God never explains himself? It takes faith when I read something to say, I'll give you one more story. Okay. When I got saved, I went up to the Servicemen Center and I saw Gene Johnson. And Gene Johnson said, are you saved? And I said, yes, sir. He said, are you a soul winner? And I said, no, sir. He said, do you want to be? And I said, yes, sir. Well, sit down. I sat down. He beat me in 2 games of checkers. Nobody could beat him in checkers. Amen. He'd been playing for years. Got done playing checkers. He said, son, here's me. Had 4 pieces of paper with Bible verses on either side. If you're going to win souls up here, you're going to memorize those Bible verses right there. I already had half of them memorized. He said, you're going to do one more thing. You're going to shave that mustache off your face. My mustache was everything. I'd walk around because it was so cool, you know. I just walked around like this. I mean, I thought that was. And, you know, it was Marine Corps, you know, stats, you know, exactly, you know, 1/8 inch in and, you know, 1/8 inch off the lip and 1/8. I mean, I had it perfect, right? And, I mean, it was my stash, you know? And when I got saved, Gene Johnson said, you're going to get that mustache off your face. And I said, okay. I drove home that night. It was a half-hour drive to the base from there. And I remember going, my mustache. What? And I remember saying, you know what? If that's what it takes to win souls, then I'll do it. I went home, shaved it off. You know what the big deal was in the 80s? That was your Tom Selleck's and your Sam Elliott. You had everybody growing mustaches, and it was a sign of Hollywood and the world. And so the board that ran the Servicemen Center said, nobody's going to win souls up here that has a mustache, facial hair. So ever since then, until COVID, amen, 35 years? I never had any facial hair. I think COVID, I don't know why I grew the beard. I thought I'd just try it. Amen? I thought I couldn't. You know what I mean? I thought it'd be too patchy and I'd look like something that walked out of a leprosy, museum or something. But it ended up working okay. And so I like it. I'm just letting you know, have I ever come to something where somebody said, you need to change this part of your life? And if I would have asked Gene Johnson, Bible verse, please. He had Bible verses for me for other things. I went up there to the Servicemen Center. It was a big flight of stairs, and I had my running shorts on, right? I just got done PTing in the Marine Corps, and I had my green shirt, red shorts, green socks, and green shoes, you know, and all that. I went up there just to drop something off to ask him a question. Gene Johnson said, okay, son, come here. He opened it up to Psalms. The Lord taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. He said, don't come up here in shorts again. Well, it's what we exercised in, right? So it wasn't like I was going to quit wearing them, but he got the point across. He had a Bible verse for everything except the mustache, because Jesus had a beard, right? I said that to say, what do you do when you don't get an explanation? Sometimes, for your benefit, you just, look, nobody's asking me to do anything that's going to hurt me. It's just something I disagree with. Well, then follow through and keep marching. Amen. It should happen whenever you read your Bible. Does God always have to explain himself? It's an interesting chapter because we're going to get the Lord's Supper next week, but it's all based on the headship of Christ in the first part of the chapter. Okay, so you got to get this part before you get the next part. But as far as I hope tonight helps you, I hope you can mark some verses there. And Brother Garland, I don't normally take questions. Your questions are... Oh, I did. Okay, real quick. Watch this. Here we go. Okay, you get a +2 for that question, Brother Garland. Here we go. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. First word you have to define is power. A woman should have an authority because the head of the woman is the man, right? Every girl needs a daddy. Every woman needs a husband. Because why? Of the angels. Satan, the serpent, was the first person to deceive Eve. And that sets a trend, first mentioned, all through your Bible. Women are more easily deceived than men. Doesn't mean they're stupid. Don't take it that far. Women, if anything, women's minds work faster than men's. That's science. But women are more deceived. That's how come the mechanics love to see the women coming. Because, well, you need to change your lighter fluid. Your light fluid's low. Yeah. Yeah, okay, if that's what you say. Ma'am, this car is missing a transmission. You only have one. They're $1,500 a piece, so looks like, yeah, we're gonna have to put another transmission in this thing. Really? How much? Yeah, $1,500. Okay. Now, she needs somebody to protect her and help her with the decisions for this cause, because the head of the woman is the man. She needs an authority to go to because she's prone to deception. Doesn't mean everything. It's just she needs somebody to run it by. That's why a wife says, here, let me ask my husband, right? Because of the angels. Real powerful verse. It's very powerful. But a woman needs an authority. She needs somebody to help her, to protect her. That's why, as far as advice before a major decision... Why? Because of the demonic influence. And women are more susceptible to it, but men get deceived too, so don't take this too one-sided. But verse 10 is a very powerful verse. Every lady needs some authority that they believe won't hurt them, isn't after their money, isn't after... But can you help me with this decision? I want to make sure that it's the Lord, right? Powerful. Put in context of the verse there. And I've taught on it a couple times, but thank you very much. Here, let's pray. Father, Lord, I ask that please you would help us as we learn your word. Lord, help us please. Thank you for our homes. Lord, refuges where we can do things your way. And Lord, the world's so messed up. It's so confused. It's so depressed. But Lord, our homes, we can put you first and follow you and make you the head of our life. Lord, bless these people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. We'll have a short altar call.